Good evening, friends of the inner sanctum. Now, come in, won't you? This is your host, Raymond, again, disturbing the peace.
Have you ever had screaming mania?
Did you ever get an attack of the yelling and wailing jitters?
You walk in your sleep? You ever wake in the middle of the night shrieking at the top of your lungs?
Oh, you do? Well, you must be an awfully hard person to live with. Well, friends, it's time for our story to begin. From this point on, forget everything pleasant. Get a finger ready to chew on, turn the lights down low, and listen to Peter Lorre tell you the blood-curdling tale, Death is a Joker. Come with me to the criminal court building. And hush falls upon the spectators as Charles Lucas sits down.
Gentlemen of the jury, I'm accused of murder. I'm an actor, comedian. Look at my face. Ugly, huh? Yes, so ugly that whoever looked at it last. I'm not telling you this to win sympathy for myself. I tell you this because it is important to your understanding. The strange event that brought me to this courtroom today to plead for my life. Shortly before midnight of November 28th, I went to the apartment of my friend Robert Langdon, famous actor and actor.
Oh, this is a surprise. Come in, come in.
Thank you.
Would you like a drink?
No, don't bother. I don't want anything.
No? Well, here, may I take your drink? Oh, excuse me. Oh, George. Yes, I have the money for you. Did you ask? When? In a minute? Yes. All right. George Galvin. You know him, Charles?
Yes.
Rotten actor. An excellent poker player.
Right, yeah. Robert, before leaving the theater tonight, someone told me that you and Julie Winthrop are going to be married. Is it true?
Yes, we'll be married in 2 weeks, right after my wife gets a decree in Reno.
You must not marry Julie.
Not marry Julie? Well, who are you to tell me what I can do?
I know Julie well enough. I also know you. That's why you must not marry her.
Doc, it might be better for you to mind your own business. Julie and I are in love with each other.
No, you're not. She's fascinated by your good looks. She's impressed by your fame, but she does not love you.
Now, look here. We may be old friends, but I've said all I'm going to. Wait a moment. I get it now. You're in love with her yourself.
I'm in love with Julie. No, we are just friends.
Friends? You're madly in love with her. That's why you came here tonight, isn't it?
No.
Friends.
You're laughing.
You in love with a girl like Julie.
How could my love make you laugh?
Oh, so you admit it, huh?
Oh, right, I do. Why is it so funny?
Do you think she'd have you? You, a clown, ugly, clumsy. You in love with Julie?
And why not? Why not?
No!
Stop, you're laughing. Stop it.
Can I? Look at yourself. Let go of me.
No.
You're choking. Let go.
A joke, huh? Joke. Laugh. Go ahead. Laugh now. Laugh. Robert, I didn't mean it. Robert. Lord, have I done it? I rush out of the apartment, trembling. I turn my coat collar up to hide my face. The streets were crowded with people coming from the late movie and restaurant. I tried to make myself act naturally, but it was impossible. Everyone I saw, every pair of eyes, had looked at me. you to accuse me of my crime. Read it for the line to change.
Paper, mister. Morning paper. Read about the Reynolds execution.
Yeah, I didn't have one.
There you are.
I didn't know Reynolds was the executor tonight.
They burned him. Well, he deserved it. Murdering his friend like he did. Oh, wait a minute, mister. You forgot to change.
Never mind. I looked at the newspaper I bought. It was a photograph of Ronald on the first page. And this page, a summarized future. A shattered race. A torture of the tribe. A horrible, nerve-wrenching experience of waiting for death. I flung the paper away. I went to the window. I opened it. I looked down 17 feet to the ground. What kind of people is the automobile line, the newsboard, and the fire train. It's 9 miles from the edge. I braced my arms. I took a deep breath. One last look. I closed my eyes and... I decided to answer it. I closed the window, went through the door.
Hello, Charlie.
Julie.
Why did you rush away from the theater tonight? We didn't just talk to you.
What?
I need your advice, Charles.
What's wrong?
Well, it's Robert.
What happened?
Well, nothing happened. It's just that I'm not sure I love him.
Not sure?
Well, when I'm with him, everything seems all right. He's handsome and charming, but when I'm alone, I begin to wonder and to doubt.
Why?
I should guess why.
Yes. You love someone else?
Yes.
Well, who is it?
You.
Mm.
Yes, that's what I came here to tell you. That's why I don't want to marry you.
Because
I would have told you before, but I was so afraid of making a fool of myself. I didn't seem to care.
The moment I saw you.
You love me?
Yes.
But darling, why didn't you tell me?
Tell you? How could I? You're so young. You're so beautiful. Man, look at me. Hudson, lungs. How could I speak to you?
How you look means nothing to me.
Nothing?
Of course it's nothing. How lucky we are we found out in time.
In time? In time? Merciful heavens. What a joke. What a joke.
But no. Tears streaming down your face. How did you tear it on the socket? Stop it!
Coming in with you.
Yes.
Tonight I committed a murder.
Murder? What are you talking about?
I killed Robert.
Killed Robert? Out of your mind. You don't know what you're saying.
It is true. I went through the problem and we quarreled and I killed him.
Oh, no.
If only a woman could believe that she believed me. You still love me?
Yes, Charles.
Then tell me what you did, Joyce.
Help me.
I can't think. I don't know where to turn, but what can I do, Joyce? What can I do?
Pull yourself together, Charles. This may not be as hopeless as you think.
Why?
Was Robert alone in the apartment you called?
Yes.
Were you seen entering or leaving?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure?
Yes, his apartment was on the second floor. I walked up and down.
What time did you get there?
said before midnight.
And what did you do before that?
It's a movie.
Movie? How long did you stay there?
About 20 minutes.
Do you have the ticket stub?
No, it's really good.
You realize what this means? They may never find out about you. That's right. They won't suspect you since they can't know your motive. No one saw you enter or leave, and you have an excellent alibi.
Do you realize what they're doing? They're talking upstairs as if they planned this crime. The jury were criminals. I committed a crime, yes, but I'm no criminal. I didn't mean to do it.
I know, Tony, I know. You think of your own life now. Mine.
Yes, you mean. Well, that's easy, Junior. I'm not a criminal, but I'm a state of rule of a criminal now. I'm going to kill a criminal who's cunning enough to escape punishment. Can I do it?
You must find out how much the police know. If it's hopeless and they have found out about you, then it would be best to give yourself up. But let's not make any decisions until we know.
How shall we know?
Did Robert expect anyone tonight?
Yes, George Galvin phoned from the jail and said he'd be up in about 3 minutes.
And the body must have been discovered by now.
Yes, I'm sure the police must be there by this time.
I think that I'll go to Robert's apartment.
No, Julie, no. I didn't want you to be coming here.
I'm already involved. It's been this horrible thing would never have happened. The least I can do is to help you now.
But Julie.
Thomas, you will not leave this apartment, Charles.
All right.
I won't be long.
Julie.
Yes.
If something happens, if something goes wrong and you're separated before you return, I want you to know that I didn't mean to say it.
You don't have to say it, darling. I know what you mean. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Crazy. I have to think like this. I have to act like this. One. What question would you answer?
Where were you at 12 o'clock midnight on November
28th? I was in a movie and here's the stub. It didn't seem easy for you to get online. My voice must not tremble. I shouldn't be so quick with the answer.
Where were you at 12 midnight on November 28th?
Was it that? Let me see. Well, I left the theater and I went to a movie. It was a very amusing picture. Very amusing.
Can you prove what you say?
Prove? Well, I don't know. It'd be difficult. Well, I may have the ticket set somewhere. Yes, here. Let me show it to you. Here it is.
Did you ever quarrel with Robert Langwell?
Quarrel with... We were friends. We played in many shows together. We were on the best of terms.
That's all, Mr. Lindsay. You may leave now.
Yes. I can see it. It is possible. I can escape punishment. Maybe the police. Maybe it is you.
Good evening, Charles.
George Gill.
I know it's rather late for an unexpected visit.
Yes, it is.
But this is important, Charles. A matter of life and death, you might say.
What do you mean?
Have you a cigarette?
Huh? Yes, here.
Thanks. Well, what's the matter, Charles? Your hand's trembling.
It's nothing.
You don't seem to be your usual self this evening. No quips, no jokes. What's wrong?
I don't always feel like joking.
Yes, Charles, it's strange about human nature, isn't it? Who would have ever dreamed that tonight, a few minutes before midnight, you entered Robert Langwell's apartment, quarreled with him over Julie, and choked him to death?
What are you talking about?
You're an excellent actor, Charles. But you're wasting your talents on me. Save them for the footlights. Or the police?
Police? Will you please tell me what all this is about?
Still acting, hmm? Now, look, Charles. You killed Robert shortly before midnight tonight.
You are mistaken. I was in a movie at that time.
So that's your alibi. Very clever. No, Charles, either we discuss terms now or I go to the police.
Wait. How did you find out?
That is my secret.
What do you want?
Money. All you have on hand. All you can dig up.
All right. Come with me. I have some money in the bedroom.
All right. Just a moment.
What is this?
Yeah.
Why?
I'm taking no chances. Let's go.
All right.
Well, where's the money? Charles, stand back or I'll fire.
Stand back. No! Let go of my hand. Let go.
I'll smash it.
We could deal that gun points to your head. Charles, let go of my hand. You don't know what you're doing.
What?
Fire. The bullet went into your brain. Fire.
Charles.
Fire.
Charles, don't.
I'll make you fire. I'll squeeze your fingers
out. Let go.
Charles.
This is all a joke.
I'll make you.
Stop it.
Mr. Sitton.
Charles. Tell him there's nothing more to worry about. Everything's all right now. You can be married and go on living and never fear anything.
What makes you say that?
Darling, you didn't commit a crime at all.
What do you mean?
Robert's alive.
Alive?
Yes, he downstairs out there in the taxi.
Robert? Alive?
Yes. I spoke to him about the marriage, and he was wonderful about the whole thing. Darling, aren't you happy? Her worries are all over. You can smile and be gay. That must be Robert now.
Hello, Charles.
Well, I thought you were...
Well, I'm not.
But how did you...
You see, I think it. George Galvin came in and brought me to.
George Galvin. Did you tell George Galvin what happened?
Yes, Julie. Look here, Charles. As I told Julie, I'm willing to forget the whole thing if you are.
Forget?
Yes. Might have ended tragically, you know, but thinking it over, I realize I'm as much to blame as you are. So if you're willing to shake hands.
Shake hands?
Here now, darling. There's nothing more to worry about. I feel so happy. I feel... Charles, what's the matter with you?
It's nothing.
It's nothing. It's nothing!
Gentlemen of the jury, I became a criminal. Well, because I thought I had committed a crime, and I had to think like a criminal. My motives were those of all men. I wanted to set anything. But in marriage with a woman I loved. What would you have done in my place? And I feel like I didn't know that guy. But I wish I could please him. Well, it must be wonderful to have a sense of humor, but I don't think Charlie feels much like a victim. Do you? We'll pay a return visit to Lena Sampson and his son living hope around the soon, but don't go silly. I'm actually dropping at the Green Wing, where the players are rehearsing our next performance in a mystery playhouse. Come with me, please.
At midnight and again in the morning, nurse.
Yes, doctor.
Well, doctor, what is the price? Will I be blind? Is it very bad? Now, take it easy, Mr. Denson. There's nothing to worry about. Nothing at all.
You're sure?
You have to stay here.
I'm quite sure.
Valerie, did you hear that? I'm not going to be blind. Valerie, where are you?
Right here, darling.
Did you hear? I won't be blind. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, darling, it's marvelous.
You don't sound very excited. Valerie, don't you realize I'm going to see again?
He doesn't sound excited because I don't want you to be excited, Mr. Denton. You've got to relax. Try to sleep.
Sleep? With this ungodly pain, my eyes feel as though they were on fire.
That ink stops as soon as the opiate I gave you takes hold. You'll be comfortable, I'm sure. But good night.
You're going now, Doctor?
Yes. I'll look in on your husband in the morning.
Stephen.
Yes, Valerie?
You'll mind if I step out into the corridor for a moment?
But you promised not to leave me. I'm afraid, darling. Everything's so dark.
The nurse will be here, dear, if you want anything. I just want to ask Dr. Wade some questions.
Questions? But he's already told us.
Yes, Stephen. I know. I'd like to find out about the treatment and how I'm to take care of you when we get you home, you know. Just little things.
Oh. But hurry back up. I want you here.
I will, dear.
Good night, Mr. Denton.
Good night, Doctor. And thank you.
You're quite welcome. After you, Mrs. Denton.
Thank you.
I suggest we step into the consultation room across the hall. We'll have more privacy.
All right.
Here we are.
Thank you.
Well, it's been a long time, Valerie.
Yes, Paul, it has.
Almost 10 years, isn't it?
About that.
Strange that you should have called me, of all people, to treat your husband's eyes.
Oh, I was panicky, Paul. I didn't know what to do. It all happened so suddenly. Stephen was working in his laboratory at the house when suddenly I heard a violent explosion. Ran in and found him clutching his eyes and screaming, "I'm blind." First thing I thought of was an ambulance. Then
why didn't you think of me 10 years ago?
Not fair, Paul.
Was it fair to turn your back on me and then to marry a man almost twice your age?
Paul, please, why bring up ancient history?
It isn't ancient history to me. I've never forgotten.
Paul, about Stephen's eyes.
What about them?
I have a feeling that you weren't telling him the truth.
You're right.
He's not going to regain his sight. Going to be blind? Oh,
Paul. You don't expect me to be terribly concerned, do you, Valerie? After all, he did take you away from me.
Don't be vindictive, Paul. It wasn't Stephen's fault. He didn't even know of your existence.
And you never told him that we were on the point of being married?
No, never.
It's rather ironic that we could meet again at the bedside of my wife, your husband. A man who may forever walk in darkness.
Thank you, Paul.
But unfortunately true. A moment ago, you told me not to be vindictive. I'm not, really. But if I were, I could have my fill of vengeance if I told him about us. And then told him that he'll be blind forever.
You wouldn't, Paul.
Or I might take another form of revenge. I could tell you that an operation is called for. A very delicate operation.
Are you trying to say that there might be a chance?
Yes. But supposing I refuse to perform the operation?
Oh, you're joking. You can't mean that.
Perhaps not. But you call me vindictive. Suppose I operate and my scalpel slips. What if you die?
That would be murder. You're not a murderer, Paul. You wouldn't risk your professional reputation. Why must you torment me this way?
You really love him, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Then forget the things that I've been saying. I want you to think of me as a friend. I want you to trust me.
I do trust you, Paul.
Thank you. Now it's the possibility of search. Yet it's the situation. The transparent film over your husband's eyes, the corneas, were burned and torn with the explosion. They've been so damaged that blindness will result, even though the eyes see it.
But you think an operation would cure them?
Possibly, although it's a very delicate job. The injured cornea must be peeled away and replaced by a fresh, healthy.
Where can you get healthy corneas?
From the eyes of the dead. Oh. It isn't quite as horrible as it sounds, Madeline. In a dying piece, people often will their eyes for just this purpose. We maintain what we call a corneal bank. It's much the same as a blood bank, only that this is different. Corneal tissue can't be stored more than 48 hours. It must be fresh, or it's no good.
You have some available in the bank?
No, that's the trouble. I'm afraid we haven't.
But there's got to be some, Paul.
I don't know where that is. Unless...
Unless what?
I was just thinking. Last night, one of the interns asked me to look at a charity cake for puzzling. The patient is a Hindu or a Persian named Khanna. He lives in a desert for shack near the water.
Yes, Papa.
I stopped by and examined him. I found him in curable condition. There's no way to save him. He won't live more than a day or two. But his eyes are helpless.
You mean... You think he might...
I don't know. You'd have to have his consent, of course.
Take me to him, Paul. I'm sure I can make him understand.
Oh, it may not be so easy, Valerie. He's a strange person. A mystic. A spiritualist.
Let me try. Just take me to him.
All right. We can go there now.
Doesn't the doctor sound familiar to you? Hmm? That's right. It's Boris Karloff, up to his old tricks. I think it might amuse you to be on hand for our next performance, when we present Mr. Karloff and Creeps by Night. This is Peter Lorre closing the doors of the Mystery Playhouse. Good night. Sleep tight.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.